we begin Sefer Vayikra, in which the Torah outlines for us all of the various karbanos that have to be brought throughout the year, and how exactly they are supposed to be brought as well. So we have a very important halacha that comes as a result of the fact that today we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, we do not offer karbanos, and the question is, why don't we offer karbanos? So many will say, of course not, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. However, the Gemara Maseches Zvachim Daf Samach Beis writes that it's not so simple that when one does not have the opportunity to have a Beis HaMikdash, that karbanos are not supposed to be offered. Says the Gemara Maseches Zvachim, Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Nevi'im Alu Imahem Min HaGola, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi were the three Nevi'im that came up with the Jewish people from Galus. And each one of them gave a very particular halacha over to the Jewish people of the time. One of them was Meid Lahem Al HaMizbeach. One of them told the Jewish people of the time the details of exactly how to build a Mizbeach. Echad Sheheid Lahem Al Mekom HaMizbeach. One of these three Nevi'im told them exactly, once you build a Mizbeach, where it should be situated on the Har HaBayis. Ve'echad Sheheid Lahem. And the third one told them, Shemakrivin Afal Pi She'ein Bayis. And the third one gave over the following testimony, and that was that you are allowed to offer karbanos even at a time when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That is what the Gemara teaches here, and Rashi explains. How do they come up with such an idea that you're allowed to offer a karban even without a Beis HaMikdash? Don't we know that karbanos have to be offered in the Makom HaMizbeach? It has to be offered only in the Beis HaMikdash. We have an Aveira that you're not allowed to offer Shchutei Chutz. You're not allowed to offer a karban outside. So Rashi and Tosas both explain there that the answer is because we assume Kidsha l'shaita v'kidsha li'asid lava. We assume that once the Kedusha was invested into the Makom HaMikdash, when they built the first Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech, we assume that that Kedusha was an eternal Kedusha. That Kedusha was an everlasting sanctity. And therefore we assume, even when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there, and even though the Mizbeach is not there, we still have that Kedusha that is ever present in the Makom HaMizbeach, and therefore we assume that karbanos are able to be offered there as well. The way the Rambam formulates it, he says, Shechina eina b'teila. The Shechina cannot be gotten rid of. The Shechina is going to be there forever, and therefore we assume, Makrivin afal pi she'ein bayis. This is not only a Gemara Maseches Zvachim daf Samach Beis, but it is also a passage in the Mishnayos and Edios. The Mishnayos and Edios are a very interesting set of Mishnayos, where we're told every different Tana had some sort of testimony that he gave over from his Rebbe. So there, in the context of Mishnayos Edios, the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati, I heard as well, Shemakrivin af al pi she'ein bayis. Rabbi Yeshua gave over the testimony from his Rebbeim that we are able to offer a karban even at a time when we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. Why is that true? So he adds off and he says, because we know Kidsha Rishona is Kedusha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Asadavo. And this Mishnah is quoted in Meseches Megillah, in Meseches Shavuos. The Gemara has this in many different places. If you look at the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that as we know, Ezra was the one who built the second Beis HaMikdash. There were three Nevi'im, as we mentioned, who came up with the Jews after they were put into exile. Three Nevi'im came back with them, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And Ezra is better known as, the Gemara says in Megillah, that Ezra is also referred to as Malachi. So Ezra very often refers to his two friends, Chagai and Zechariah, but he never talks about Malachi. And the answer, the Gemara says, is because he was Malachi. He had two different names. So the Gemara says that Ezra is the one who built the second Beis HaMikdash. V'lo b'maisav nishkadish hamakom. The place of the Beis HaMikdash did not become sanctified because of the work of Ezra HaSofer. Says the Rambam, Shalohi Hashem lo melech v'lo urim v'tumim. He was missing a number of ingredients necessary to have a functioning Beis HaMikdash. So when Ezra tried to consecrate the Beis HaMikdash and build it once again, he did not have a king there, which is necessary to build a Beis HaMikdash. Number two, he didn't have a kohen with the Urim V'tumim, so he was missing many different things. And therefore, asked the Rambam, Damen is katsha. So how was the place sanctified? How was the edifice, the Beis HaMikdash? How was it infused with Kedusha? Answers the Rambam, B'kedusha rishona shekidsha Shlomo HaMelech shehu kidish ha'azar v'yushalayim v'kidish osam li'asad lava. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, the infusion of Kedusha that he brought at the time was something that was going to last forever. And therefore the Rambam continues, based on that principle, based on that assumption that the Kedusha that was infused by Shlomo HaMelech is something that is going to last forever, therefore he says, Lefikach makrivin akarbanos kulan afal pi she'ein sham bayis banoi. Since we assume that there still is a sanctity in the place of the Makom HaMikdash, therefore we assume as well that karbanos are able to be offered during our times when there is no Beis HaMikdash. That is what the Rambam writes. And famously, the Rava disagrees, and he says, I don't know what the Rambam is talking about. We have many different Gemaras that seem to contradict this principle as well. But in the end of the day, this is the opinion of the Rambam, and that is quoted as well, I believe, in Shulchan Aruch. I think so. That is the way the Shulchan Aruch writes. Now, so based on the Rambam, one has to wonder, the Sefer Achinuch asks, so does the Rambam mean to say we have an obligation to offer karbanos? I would have said, if you have a right to offer a karban, that means you better make sure you figure out everything in your capability to bring the karban that you can bring. So the Sefer Achinuch writes, he doesn't think that that is what the Rambam means to teach us. And the Sefer Achinuch writes, Aval ein hakavana lomar. The Rambam does not mean to say, Shahaya aleinu chiyuv lahakriv karban bebeis hamigdash achshav shehu charev. The Rambam does not mean to teach us that we have an absolute obligation to offer karbanos when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. All the Rambam means to say is that you have the right. It is a reshus. You have the ability, if you so choose, to offer a karban without a Beis HaMikdash, you can. But if you find it to be too difficult, you do not have the obligation to do so. So this was an ongoing debate over the many, many centuries, over the many millennia. Should we be offering karbanos? We've been in Galus for many, many years, unfortunately, and the question has come up. The first time it came up was in the 15th century, the great Rishonim. We're discussing whether or not we have the possibility of offering a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a sefer that was written by one of the Rishonim. His name was Eshtori HaParchi. I don't really know much about him, but he wrote a sefer by the name of Kaftar Vaferach, and there it's a sefer that includes all of the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, how exactly we are supposed to perform the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. And there he writes that Reb Chaim Mi Pariz was one of the Rishonim. I assume he lived in Paris. That's why his name was Reb Chaim Mi Pariz, I assume. Ala the Yerushalayim, it says that he went up to Yerushalayim and he decided that he wants to offer karbanos. So he says, why don't we follow what the Gemara says and what the Rambam teaches us, that we should be offering karbanos when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? Now the problem was, you come across a number of obstacles along the way. It's not as simple as that. It's not just that the only obstacle is we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara says, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you can go and offer a karban. This came up once again, not only in the 15th century, but it came up once again in the 1800s by the contemporaries of Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chasam Sofer, and one of their students by the name of Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Kalischer made a big push that he felt it is the appropriate thing to do to try and once again get a groundswell of people that were willing to go and offer a karban on the Beis HaMikdash in the Makom HaMikdash even today. So some of the obstacles were as follows. Number one, and this is the most obvious, all of us are considered to be Tamei Betumas Meis. Either we've come in contact with a dead body directly, or we've been in the same room, or we've been to a cemetery, or we've come in contact with others who have been to a cemetery and they have touched us, and therefore we assume we all in some way have a Tumas Meis. And as a result of that, we know that the Halacha states, someone who is a Tamei Meis, somebody who is defiled because they came in contact with a dead body, is not allowed to go into the Makom HaAzara. You're not allowed to step into the place which houses the Mizbeach. So therefore, we would assume that the first obstacle we would come across is, how could any of us even think about offering a Karban if, after all, we are all Tamei B'Tumas Meis? So you'll say to yourself, why can't I just go to the Mikveh? We know that a mikveh is mitaher. We know that a mikveh is able to remove impurity. So why can't I do the same thing? Well, the answer is in Parshas Para that we're going to read before Pesach. We know that Parshas Para tells us that we have an obligation to sprinkle ourselves with the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Why so? Because the only way to become tahor from one who has become defiled by a dead body is to have the ashes of the Parah Aduma with the water sprinkled on you. And therefore we assume this would pose a major issue. This would be a major problem. How can one circumvent that issue? How can one get around that problem? So the answer to that is very simple. Although we assume that one is not allowed to enter the Makom HaMikdash when you're in a state of Tumah, however, the Gemara Meseches Yuma, Meseches Psachim tells us a very famous concept that we assume Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Although it's true that an individual who became impure, an individual who is defiled from a mace, from coming in contact with a dead body, he is not able to go and enter into the Makom HaMikdash. However, we assume when you have an entire tzibur, or the Gemara says, Rov HaTzibur, if all of us are Tamei, and we don't have any other option but to send somebody who happens to be Tamei, so the Gemara says, for the purposes of offering a karban on behalf of the entire congregation, you're allowed to do it even if he happens to be in a state of tumah. So that is the way that the Achronim got around problem number one. Problem number two that we faced is we don't really know the proper place of the hakrava. We don't know exactly where the mizbeach is supposed to be. So yes, we have people who look into the old history and they're trying to figure out exactly what the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash were, and you go through all the psukim in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you try to make all the diagrams, but we don't know with certainty, we don't know exactly where it's supposed to be, so would that be a problem? We know that there are certain karbanos that you're supposed to offer on the right side, on the left side, on the north, on the south, so where are you supposed to offer the karban? Even if we're going to send somebody when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and he happens to be Tameh, we got around those two problems. What about the fact that we don't know where he's supposed to bring the carbon to? We don't know which part of the Beis HaMikdash it should be brought in. So this was a major issue. However, many Achronim suggested that maybe we can get around that, because the Gemara says in Maseches Zvachim that Mizbeach Shenekar, when you have a Mizbeach that for some reason becomes uprooted, and it is no longer in the place where it is supposed to be, Maktirin Bimkoman. The Gemara says you're allowed to offer a carbon in the place of the Mizbeach, even though it is not there. So what does that mean? Does that mean you have to know exactly where it is? Just, even if the Mizbeach happens not to be there, as long as you offer it in its place? Or perhaps does it mean no? You have to make sure that you bring it on the Mizbeach proper, and if you don't have a Mizbeach, even if you might know where the Mizbeach is supposed to be, perhaps that would be an obstacle as well. So that was also a major issue that came up and was discussed. Do we have a right to offer a carbon by guessing where we think the Mizbeach used to be, and perhaps that would allow us to do it? Another challenge that we faced was, we don't really know who exactly is a Kohen. The Gemara says we used to have Yichsei Kohanim, we used to have a list, we used to have the genealogy that was laid out clearly, and it stated exactly who is a Kohen and who is not. Today, we don't really know. We are all Kohanim. The Kohanim that we have today are only what we refer to as Kohanei Chazaka. We have an assumption that if you say you're a Kohen, it probably means your father was a Kohen. That probably means that his father told him he was a Kohen. But we don't know with absolute certainty who the Kohanim are today and who perhaps they are not. So therefore we have an issue. The only one who can offer the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash is somebody who we know is a Kohen. But we don't really know who are Kohanim today. We assume. So where does it make a difference today? You'll say, today we give the Aliyah to the Kohen because we assume he's a Kohen. So what if we're making a mistake? So we gave the Aliyah to a wonderful Jew who's not a Kohen. Doesn't matter. What? So that's the question. Now that we have the DNA testing, is that good enough to assume that we can really make a clear study of who is Kohanim and who is not? My latest understanding from what I've read up on this is that it's not so conclusive yet. The bracket gene, the gene that they've worked on for that is not so clear, it's not so foolproof that is absolutely only the line of Kohanim and perhaps no one else got involved there. So that was a major issue. Should we assume that the Kohanim are not absolute Kohanim today and therefore they cannot be the ones to offer the Karbanos on our behalf? So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer tried to tackle that issue as well. And he said, well, we have a Mishnah that tells us, what exactly is the job of Eliyahu HaNavi when he is going to come and inform us about the Geula? Is Eliyahu HaNavi's job going to be to go around and tell everybody, you know, you're a mamzer? Sorry, I didn't mean to point at anybody. You know, you come from a family of horrible people, and you know, you're really not Jewish. You had a great-great-grandmother somewhere who said she was Megaya, but really she wasn't. Is that going to be part of Eliyahu HaNavi's job to go and destroy all of Klal Yisrael and start telling people who's Jewish, who's not, who's a Kohen, who's not? So the Mishnah has such a discussion. And one of the Tanoim says, the job of Eliyahu HaNavi is not to put people down. Eliyahu HaNavi's job is just a beautiful hashkafa. Eliyahu HaNavi's job is to come and raise people up. All those people who along the way thought that they were Yisraelim, Eliyahu HaNavi's going to say, no, you are a Kohen and you are a Levi. And he's going to lift people up. He's not going to put people down. So therefore, said Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, that means that Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to point a finger at anyone who we assume was a Kohen. He's not going to point a finger at him and say, you know, you were mistaken all the years. So therefore, writes of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, that means that we have a right to assume anybody who had the assumption that they were Kohanim, we could assume that they were correct, and that status is not going to change at all, even though Eliyahu HaNavi might know differently, but the Mishnah seems to say that he is not going to give off that secret. A fourth issue, and we'll dive a mincha in a minute, a fourth issue that was discussed by many Achronim was, what about the fact that we don't know exactly what the Tchelis is today? And you have to have Big Day Kahuna in order to do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. We have to have Big Day Kahuna that are made exactly the way the Torah describes the making of the Big Day Kahuna. And one of the items necessary is we need to have Tchelis available to put into some of the various Begadim. Well, we don't exactly know what the Tchelis is. We can guess, but that's not good enough to guess. So that was a major issue that had to be dealt with as well. And finally, the Chasam Sofer says, what about the fact that we don't have Machtzis HaShekel? The only way you can offer a carbon on behalf of all the Jewish people is if you have everybody contributing via the Machzis HaShekel. But today we don't go around collecting money from everybody. So therefore, since we don't have a public kupah, since we don't have a way of collecting from everyone, we don't have a way also of offering a carbon on behalf of everyone. Once you're not offering a carbon on behalf of everyone, you don't have a right to offer that carbon in the Beis HaMikdash when you don't have Kohanim that are Tahar, because the only time a Tameh is allowed to enter is when it's on behalf of a carbon Tzibur. But today, when you don't have a carbon Tzibur, because we don't have the money from all the Tzibur, so perhaps that would pose a problem as well. So this was a major issue, as we mentioned, that was discussed over the many, many centuries, and it came up over and over again, the 1400s, the 1500s, once again in the 1700s, 1800s. One of the great Gedolim wrote a letter to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld that they should go and try to ask the British government to have the opportunity to do it once again. This was something that came up over and over again, but unfortunately it seems that the minhag is that we don't go ahead with this plan, and although many have tried to get around all of the halachic obstacles, there still are a number of them that are in the way that we have to wait for the ultimate Beis HaMikdash to have the opportunity to once again offer the Karbanos.